spiritually to be able to do so. Now, I know that sometimes we're tired and sometimes we are dealing with other situations in life. But, you know, it's kind of what I'm going to talk about this afternoon. I kind of got this idea from one of the devotions I read, and I kind of put the lesson together after it. Turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We're going to begin at verse number 13. James chapter 4 and verse number 13. We'll read down through verse number 17. And it reads as such. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what ye shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. How often do we waste our days? You ever thought about that? You know, life has a way of just kind of floating by and just, you kind of get into the rutter routine of every day, and we sometimes lose the fact that every day, every moment is precious. You know, we're living in a time where we're dealing with a pandemic and we're dealing with so many other troubles and under the constant threat of maybe some knucklehead, you know, setting off a bomb or anything, and, you know, we just live in some dangerous time. And I'm not saying it's any different than times past, but we really are thinking about this, thinking about maybe learning to value each day. As I get older, and I'm still, like I say, young and wet behind the ears, so to speak, but, you know, sometimes you look back and wonder where all the days went. You know, they sometimes clump together, lump together sometimes, don't they? Seem like it just come in chunks. And at one point in time, this chunk of your life, you did this. And this is another section of your life, you did this. And there's another section of your life, you did this. But how often do we let two thieves rob us of every day? Those two thieves are yesterday and tomorrow. So today, we're just going to talk about how we can get the best out of every day. You know, the author James here talks about the fact of we don't need to be so concerned about what's tomorrow and what we're going to do next year. He's talking about just asking God to help us today, doing God's will today. So I got about a few points I want to make about what we do today. So my lesson is entitled, Today I Will. Today I Will. And I've done this, it's been several years since I taught this lesson, but as I was studying, preparing for something, you know, sometimes, I always preach this lesson to me first. And sometimes we get so caught up in life that we forget to live and get the most out of each and every day. Life is brief. You know, James tells us it's but a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. Now, sometimes when we think about the number of years somebody may live, you know, Psalms 90 and 10 says 3 score plus 10, 4 score by reason of health. And you're like, man, 80 years is not a lot. But how many days is that? I didn't add up the days, but that's 80 years of 365 days, or 366 every 4 years with leap year, right? I wonder how our life would change. Instead of just living them in chunks of years, we live them in days. You know, sometimes birthdays creep upon us, and we look back, and we're like, oh, I'm another year old, or, you know, another year's approached. And sometimes you look back, like I do sometimes, and, you know, what did I do this past year? Did I live the best life I could live? Did I do what God asked me to do? And sometimes it humbles me because sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes I look back on what I did last week or even 3 days ago and wonder, where did the time go? So we're going to look at some ways that we can learn to get the best out of every day if it's okay. And then after that, the lesson will be yours. Point number one, today I will thank God for another day on this side of living. You know, sometimes we get so busy complaining in this world, so busy complaining about how bad things are. Have you ever thought about the fact of at least you're here to live and voice your concerns and complaints? Do you thank God for that? Or do you wake up every day like you're cursed, like one more day in this place? Or do you really realize that truly is a blessing today? The day is a blessing. There was once a soldier who was asked this question. He says, you can give any gift in the world, what would it be? The soldier thought, contemplated, and he said, the best gift I can give this world is tomorrow. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Think about the fact of what our servicemen do. They want to make sure that we, you know, keep the freedoms that we have, not only today and tomorrow. Speaking of that, I had a chance to see Jordan graduate via FaceTime. And I have some pictures, and I'll put them up next week, but he graduated. He should be back here. Maybe, I think he said, once he got his orders and got his everything cleaned up, probably about midweek. He said if he got here Wednesday, he'd try to make it here Wednesday with us. So I told him we were definitely proud of him. He called me right after that and talked to me for a while. So I was definitely glad to hear his voice and talk to him. But you think about the folks who really understand what tomorrow means and how important it is for us to have a place tomorrow. Seems like most of the country, especially those in power today, have no clue and no desire about tomorrow. All they're concerned about is today. What kind of world would your children grow up in? What kind of world are your grandchildren growing up in? Sometimes, you know, we just learn to take care of today and do what we need to today, then that'll be a lot better, make a lot better for tomorrow. So just learn to thank God for another day of life. Now, I didn't say it was perfect. I didn't say that it would all go well, but sometimes we just need to thank God for today. Wake up in the morning with Thanksgiving on your heart and see how much better your day goes. And you may have to work or other responsibilities, but how often do we sometimes get up, and I've been guilty of this myself, get up sometime, my feet hit the floor in my mind before my body does. And sometimes I get up because I'm in such a hurry and I got so many things on my agenda today that I didn't even take time to thank God for waking me up. And I feel bad at the end of the day because I'm like, you know what, I got so busy doing this and that. At least he woke me up this morning where I could take some stuff off my to-do list, whether I got it all accomplished or not. I don't need to be so disappointed I didn't get everything accomplished, because at least today I was able to see another day. Point number two, today I will observe the wonders of nature as I go by every day. I'll make this day the best day I can. One of the best things we can do when life gets to going too fast downhill is just stop and maybe look up at the sky. How beautiful the sky is. Look at nature. Look how beautiful God designed nature. Sometimes we get so busy zooming down the road that we never take time to notice that your tree you passed yesterday is actually blooming. Or, you know, this time of year when leaves begin to turn and it gets so beautiful, sometimes most of us are thinking about dreading winter and it's getting colder. And because of that, we miss the beauty of this season. What about doing a thing like that? What about just when you walk outside, and I know it's cold or hot or whatever it is, and I sometimes complain about the humidity, but sometimes I need to just be thankful that I can breathe in this humidity or cool air or whatever it is. It kind of puts things in perspective sometimes. Think about how nature cries out to us that there is a God who's still in control. How oftentimes do we just take that for granted? Have you ever stopped to look at maybe a squirrel running in your yard or a bird or a hummingbird just floating along, just no cares of the world? It kind of puts things in perspective sometimes. So when you get too fast on that wheel, that rat race of life, learn to slow down. And one of the things you can learn to do to slow down is just observe nature. You know, in your commute, instead of worrying about the people you have to deal with when you get to work, just, I ain't say take your eyes off the road where you lose sense of it, because I'm bad about that. I like to watch nature. So people get on me for watching too much nature when I'm driving. But sometimes I can't help it. And sometimes it is my goal, where I'm going, to find something new in nature, to see a deer off in the distance somewhere, to see this, or see that blooming, or see that change. You know, it just kind of puts things in perspective. So that's what we need to do. Today, and even every day, I'll make it a point to observe something wonderful that God has created in nature and see how it changes your attitude and your outlook on life. Point number three, today I will thank God for the blessings of prayer. Oh, my goodness. Now, when I think about this, and when I reflect on this, you know we serve God, but when we think about all who God is, think about he's the God who created not only our world, the universe. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that we read of in scriptures. But we have a chance to have an intimate relationship with the creator of the universe. Have you ever thought about that? How blessed we are. He talks to us through his word. We communicate back in prayer, and he hears our prayers. Matter of fact, he knows us so well, scripture says, that the very hairs on our head are numbered. And if you're like myself, each and every day you have less on your hair. You have less on your head. So that's the nature of life. You get older, you start losing hair, you know, doing this, and hair you don't want to grow in places that you want to grow, and hair you want to stay places, it falls out. That's just the way it happens. Now, it seems like the shorter my hair get on my nose, the longer my nose hairs get. I don't understand it. I guess y'all been there before. Stuff start growing out of your ears and hair out your ears, and you're like, why can't I just make it grow on top of my head if I'm losing it at? And sometimes we complain about it. But we are blessed to be able to talk and have a relationship with the God of the universe, who loves us enough to care about our everyday cares, who loves us enough to want to make sure that we have the necessities of life. Think about how many times do we waste not talking to God through prayer. That should be at the top of our list each and every day. And again, I stand guilty of this sometimes. You know, I got a goal today, just speaking of some goals that I have, of just trying to make sure I pray to God at least 3 times a day. Do I always reach it? No. But then I have to look back and say, well, what's my excuse? Well, I was busy. Well, you couldn't take time to tell God thank you 3 times a day? That should be something that should be easy. But the reality is, it's not always easy for us. It's not always easy to keep that at the forefront. But we are simply children of God. We are joint heirs with our older brother in many respects, Christ Jesus. We know he was the Son of God, but he was also a man in the flesh. And we're joint heirs with him. And he wants us to bring our petitions to him. He's not like, you know, get in the line, I'm tired of hearing. He wants to hear from us. He wants that relationship. And we don't even take advantage of it and realize how much it would benefit us. So that's point number three. Point number four. Today, I'll watch what I say to others, but more importantly, to myself. Think about this for a moment. Psalms 19 and 14 says this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, God. Now, we did that. There'll be a whole lot less cursing folks out. There'll be a whole lot less name calling. There'll be a whole lot less gossiping and talking and backbiting about one another. There'll be a whole lot more of words of affirmation and positive. There'll be a whole lot of, if you have nothing to say, good, not saying anything at all. If we just put that in our life every day, if we woke up with that on our mind. Now, some of us, God made us different with different personalities, and some of us have a quicker trigger when it comes to the tongue. I understand those things. But just think, if you did those things and said those things before you really said something you regret, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, my God. That means that I will never say anything out the way to my brother or sister, because God hears it too. And I got to answer for everything that we do, not according to God's word, in word, thought, or deed. So if I don't want to have to answer for it, I really don't need to say it. But how much better would your day be? How much time, less time would you spend angry about how you're going to tell somebody off and get them told? That's your number one. And I've been that way before. Sometimes you wake up and you're so mad at somebody in your life, your number one mission that day is to get them told. And you've already put in your mind what you're going to say, how much you're going to say of it, when you're going to say it, and the response and the response you're going to give when they say something back to you. Now, I spent all that time forming an argument, talking about what I'm going to say that ain't really good and I shouldn't be saying in the first place, forming how I'm going to really respond, how I'm going to get the one up on them, and I should be praying for that soul as opposed to working on my defense, so to speak. Makes life a little better. That's point number four. Point number five. Today, I will take time to examine my priorities. Always keeping this in mind. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I wonder if we got up with that on our mind, how much different things would be in our lives every day. When we say today, if you put God at the first of your list, it kind of puts everything else in perspective. You know, when God is number one in your life, it really does help you line up priorities. If you're juggling too many balls in the air, you're getting too busy, one of the things I learned the hard way is I need to go back and prioritize some stuff. Because it's too much. I got too many irons in the fire, too many balls in the air, whatever we call it. And sometimes it overwhelms us to the point where God himself is crowded out. Now, I say from time to time, and I know how Satan has attacked me in the past, sometimes he'll fill your life with so much good stuff that the best stuff is left out. That comes from him, too. And you're like, there's nothing bad. I'm not doing anything bad. But where's God in the mix? I'm not out here robbing banks. I'm not doing anything illegal. And everything I have, I'm trying to do for you. But is God still number one in your priorities? Satan works that way, too. So we need to examine. What will your mind absorb? What will take up your time and efforts today? Those values which will live in eternity, or those things which pass away of this world, with this world? Which one are you spending more time on? Things laying up treasures in heaven, or trying to make a name for yourself down here on this earth? Which one? Because one of them ain't going to last. And it's the things of this world that's going to last. So we spend all our time, all our energy and resources trying to make sure that we're somebody in this world, we end up almost being nobody when it comes into judgment. Because then we're in jeopardy of hearing, I never knew you. You never took time for me on this side of living. Many folks claim that's the reason why they can't worship, because the schedule is too busy. Well, you need to change the schedule. If you don't have enough time in to give God thanks, then there's something wrong with your schedule and your priorities. That's just the way it is. You don't have enough time to study and provide some time in your life to study. And we have busy days. I'm not saying you don't. No responsibilities. But your first responsibility is to seek him first. And not first just on Sundays. Not first just on Wednesdays. First every day. That should be our priority, and that should be our goal. But it is, and it takes us some examining. Point number six. Today, I will be aware that every person I see really is just a dying soul without Christ. Now, that's hard for us to grasp sometimes, isn't it? Now, if you think about and begin to look at world, as I said this morning, with your spiritual eye, it ought to allow you to see without a shadow of a doubt that this world is truly white with harvest. We don't always see that because somebody makes us mad. Somebody has a different opinion. Somebody even may be caught up in sin that we really don't like and really want to deal with. But when we learn to look at things that way, we'll really begin to see things the way God sees us. He sees this whole world in need of a Savior. That's why he came to this earth. For wretched, raggedy folk like you and I. Because we're no different. We just took up God's opportunity to do something with sin. That's the only difference between us and the alien sinner. We at least humbled ourselves and obeyed that gospel. The only reason we have a relationship and can have a relationship with the God of the universe is because we took access. We took advantage of how to access the blood of Christ. That's the only thing that allows us to go into the presence of a holy God. Not you being the good, the best neighbor, giving the most money to charity. None of that stuff allows you to go into the presence of God. Only the blood of Christ. So we need to understand those things. But think about this for a moment. Here's a little poem I got in my notes right here. It says, God gave me something very sweet to be mine on this day. A precious opportunity, a word for Christ to say. Every day we have an opportunity to speak the words of Christ to somebody. Do you do it? And it could be something as simple as God loves you. For somebody who hadn't felt love and don't even know what a heavenly loving Father is, that could be a door to open them to the fact of wanting to know about the God that you serve. There's a whole lot of folks who, when you mention Heavenly Father, they've never had a father in their life. So who is this heavenly good Father that you're talking about? Because mine left when I was a child, before I was born. So what are you talking about? Is he the one I need to know? How often do we take little opportunities like that? And it doesn't take anything but just looking for opportunities. But most times we look away from opportunities because it's an inconvenience. And we don't want to say these things. And it doesn't have to be anything negative. You don't have to beat people over the head with the Bible. Just sometimes, just simple saying that God loves you and so do I can make the difference in somebody's life. Now, I'm not talking about the folks you tell it to every day. Find somebody new to tell it to. Whether you're in the store, whether it's a friend you don't normally talk to, whether it's a relative you haven't talked to in a while, reach out to them. You never know what the words that you say and what a difference it can make. Point number seven, remember that time is life. We're able to save money for the future. We're able to drive foods and save them for hard days, but you can't save time. You ever thought about that? You know, it'd be nice if we could treat time like they used to treat on them old mobile plans, cell phone plans. They roll over, right? Now, used to be back then, you get some minutes, and they roll over. You had rollover minutes. So we bought 500 minutes, and you didn't use but 200, then 300, roll over to the next month. Now you got 800 minutes. That's not the way time works. Time is precious. Time is short. Benjamin Franklin once said this, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for that's the stuff that life's made of." What are we wasting our time on? So, if you spend 1 hour with someone today, you've given them one of the most precious gifts you can give them, which is your time. It doesn't have to be monetarily. It doesn't have to be that. But just the most precious gift we have really is our health and time. You ever thought about that for a moment? You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have the time and time runs out, you can't spend it. You can have all the biggest, richest person in the world, but your health could be so poor that you can't enjoy it. So if you have time and health, consider yourself richly blessed. That doesn't mean your bank account has all the zeros you want in it. It doesn't mean all your bills are paid. But if you got time, then you have a blessing. Time is short. We need to use it to the best of our ability. As I said before, 70 is not a lot, especially when you compare it to some of the patriarchs with Methuselah living 969 years. 80 years, he was still a toddler in many respects, if you think about it. But for us, because God shortened the years of man on this earth, that's a full life. But if you think about it in time, it's really a drop in the bucket. But I want you to think about it in terms of days. 365 days a year for 80, 90 years. That's a lot of time. And not only you get too high with that, think about how many hours that is on this earth that you had. And what have we done for God? It ought to humble us. Because we spend so much time not doing and spending time on things that really won't matter in the end. That was point number 7. Point number 8. Today, I will be thankful that God has given me the privilege to work in his kingdom. The privilege. Not a chore. Not something just to do. Not something on your to-do list. But do you realize the blessings that we have? He placed heavenly things in earthen vessels like you and I. Think about that for a moment. None of us will place our most precious jewels in the thing that's probably the most fragile. That's what God did for us. We have an opportunity. We are his workmanship. We are his ambassadors, commissioned in heaven to work in this world of turmoil and sin. And if we do not do his work, it will not be done. If it is to be, it's up to me, not somebody else. You know, I always look for that excuse. Well, somebody else's job. But what are you doing specifically for the kingdom? And nobody can get around that. You have to be doing something for the kingdom every day. It should be your mission to do something for Jesus every day. It doesn't mean you may never preach a sermon. You may never teach a class. But you can call somebody. You can help somebody along the way. You can give somebody a word of encouragement. There's no excuse for us not working in the Lord's kingdom. Matter of fact, that's going to cause a whole lot of folks gate trouble. And as we said Wednesday night, worship is not work. Oh, my, because I was counting that under the work category. That's worship. We owe God that. That's like a huddle in football. You come together again, you get encouraged, whether you have a good play or bad. You score a touchdown, they pat you on the back. You give up a touchdown, you got some folks should be in there saying, get them next time. That's the purpose of worship, as we think and give God that, so we can go back out in the world and take Jesus out in the world beyond these doors. That should be our mission. But that's number 8. Another poem that kind of I saw that kind of came into this lesson that I put together. Think about this for a moment. Somebody did a golden deed. Somebody proved a friend in need. Somebody sang a beautiful song. Somebody smiled the whole day long. Somebody thought 'tis sweet to live. Somebody said I'm glad to give. Somebody fought a valiant fight. Somebody lived to shield the right. Were you that somebody? Now, I gave you all kind of ways that we can work in the kingdom. Were you that somebody? Point number 9. Today, I'll remember that when I allow Christ to be the most important person in my life, my friend, my example, my intercessor, my savior, there is no way that other human beings can destroy my self-esteem. How often do we let other folks do that? How often do we lose who we see ourselves as because of what somebody else says or thinks? How often have we given somebody that kind of power over us? Think about that for a moment. Giving somebody that power over us. So when we think about it, repeat it again. If you allow Christ to be the most important thing in your life, your friend, your example, your intercessor, and your savior, there is no way that any other human being should be able to destroy your self-esteem because it's built in him. You realize how you are in Christ. You are a child of God, no matter what man says about you and to you. We give our way. You know, I think Martin Luther King said the last one I heard. He says, you know, if you're tired of people giving you goat, maybe you need to stop telling where you tie your goat up at. They always get my goat. Well, you've already told them whatever you weak in. You've already exposed that to the people and also Satan. We ought to be thankful of who we are in Christ Jesus. The most important thing to be in this world is a child of God. Not rich, not famous. A child of God. That's more important and more precious than anything. And many of us go to where Esau and sell it for a bowl of beans. The best thing you can be is a child of God. That's the only thing we ought to want to be. That's point number 9. Point number 10. We ought to thank God for the privilege and the responsibility for being lights in a world of darkness. You don't hide lights under bushels. So why are we so busy hiding ourselves from society? Why do we do those things? Why are we afraid sometimes to stand up for Jesus? And I understand why. Persecution's coming, but it ain't nothing new. They persecuted Paul. They persecuted all these martyrs that we see in Scripture. When you read Revelation chapter 12, all those martyrs that were under the altar asking God, when are you going to take vengeance on us? They had enough courage to stand up for Christ, and it cost them their physical life, but not their spiritual life. What's our problem? Now, here in the United States, it's not that way today, but we ain't that far from it. I can guarantee you that. But speaking up for Jesus, it may cost you your life. Now, it may cost you reputation. If you got a business, it can cost you business. If you got friends, it can cost you friends. They're going to unfriend you and unfollow you, but that's okay. That ought to be all right. But it is an awesome privilege to be lights in this world. If light is not different from darkness, then you can't call it light. So if you're trying to be light and be like darkness, then you can't be light. You can't be both. But how often times we try to do that? I'm light here today, but around certain folks, I'm darkness. It's not going to work out that way. We ought to be lights 24/7 because a lot of light. And you don't have to force it on anybody. It says, let your light shine. It didn't say, make your light shine. It said, let your light shine, right? Which means it ought to be something that's natural. You don't have to force it down. If you force the light on somebody, you're going to blind them. But if you're letting light shine, then there'll be folks in the world of darkness who seek the light. Just like all them critters and creatures that sometimes seek our lights at night, right? Cut your light on, your porch light on at night, go out about 9, 10 o'clock. You got all kind of stuff flying. They're attracted to light. Creatures are. Are they attracted to your light so you can tell them about the true light? That's witnessing for Christ. Point number 11. Today, I will speak words of encouragement to some weary soul. The reality is, the vast majority of people that you run into, that you deal with every day, are fighting some kind of battle. Think about that for a moment. You never know. Sometimes they will never let you know, and sometimes they do a good job of hiding it. But the reality is, the vast majority of people that we circulate with and among every day are fighting some kind of battle. Everyone needs a word of encouragement now and then. And encouragement doesn't mean that you're sugarcoating it, as some folks say. Encouragement doesn't mean that you're not looking and got your feet, you don't have your feet on the ground anymore. Encouragement can mean, I know you may be dealing with something I don't know, but hang in there, you can make it through it. Just words of encouragement. Matter of fact, Barnabas' name was changed to Son of Encouragement. That was not his original name, but it was changed, and that's nice for your name to be encouragement. You know who's coming to see me today? Encouragement, being Barnabas. You know who I spoke to yesterday? Encouragement. You know who I'm going to see tomorrow? Encouragement. Wouldn't that be great to say about Christians, about you and your walk? Encouragement. Now this one right here really gets somebody. Today, I will use whatever heartaches, headaches, and tribulations that I have to help me grow spiritually, knowing that if nothing else, I draw closer to God. And that's enough in and of itself. If all your trials and tribulations did will make you closer to God, oh my goodness, consider yourself blessed. Because then what you're doing by drawing closer to God, you're depending less on you and more on Him. That's what Paul was able to say in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, not through Paul, not through the apostles. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. How do we know that? Well, in that same thing, he talks about learning how to be abased and how to be abound. Learning how to have a lot, learn how to have a little. Learn to have no persecution and learn to be persecuted severely. And out of all these things, God stuck by it and he made it through. He talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, all the things that God brought him out of. He didn't complain about it. He didn't bellyache about what he went through in his past. He realized that it drove him closer to God. He realized that it was really for his good. He realized in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that the thorn in the flesh that he had, that he prayed for God to remove, was actually for his benefit. It kept him humble. It kept him seeking God. That's when he says, now I rejoice in my infirmities. I rejoice in persecution. Because when I do that, I realize when I'm weak, I'm strong. Think about it. That doesn't make sense to the world, but it makes sense to Christians. At your weakest point, really, it ought to be your strongest point, because that's when you depend on God the most. Oh, my goodness. So these trials that we go through shouldn't really get us down or draw us away, push us away. It really should draw us closer. And sometimes that's why we go through them. Here's another little poem that goes along with this. It says, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and never a word said she, but oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. We learn some lessons through going through trials and tribulations. We learn some lessons that's the only way to learn. Sometimes we need to go through these things so there's lessons for us to learn. Sometimes the troubles that we have really are things we need to learn. A couple more and I'll bring this lesson in for a landing. Today, I will strive under all circumstances to follow the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Following this principle will cure many problems in families, in churches, and really in all society. Try to take a look beneath the surface of somebody else and really try your best. And it's not always possible, but at least you can try the shoes on. You may can't walk in them, but maybe just trying them on is all you need to do. We can't always walk in somebody else's problem, but oh my goodness, it makes a difference when they see you trying to understand where they're coming from. But it takes you getting out of your comfort zone. It takes getting out of what's in it for me. It takes you getting out of the mindset, you know what? It's not my job. It's not I don't have time. When did it become about you? And that's part of the problem. We have a whole lot of folks in that mindset. Sad to say, they're in the church too. But I don't think. Well, who asked you to think? Just do. Well, I don't feel. Who asked you to feel? It ain't about you anymore. We were purchased with a price. The last one I cover, one of the last two. That's point number 13. Point number 14. Who's taking notes? Today, I will be fortified and encouraged, knowing that my soul is anchored in Christ, according to Hebrews 6:19. Christ and his word is an anchor for the soul. The storms of life gonna make the boat rock a little bit. But just like a good, strong anchor that runs deep, you ain't going to get too far from where you started. They may blow you around in a circle, but you're not going to be blown into way off course either. Sometimes in life, we need to drop the anchor during trials and tribulations. But what it does is it lets us know that God and his truth will not allow us to be tossed to the point where our souls are lost. That's where we need to place our anchor. Oftentimes, we place our anchor in other folk. Other folk, that's not the right place to place it. Jobs, that's not the right place to place it. Friends, that's not the right place to place it. Family, that's not the right place to drop your anchor at. You need to drop it in Christ. You need to anchor in Christ. Everything else is going to be blown away sooner or later. Everything else is just for this world. That includes friends, families, jobs. They're just for this world. How do we know that? We're not even going to be married in heaven. There's no marriages in heaven. Oh, my goodness. You may say, well, thank you. All I got to do is make it through this life. Nope. I tell folks all the time, I know I'm not going to be married to my wife, Regina, but nobody better be on that same cloud, because we're going to have some problems. Because they got to go. My mansion going to be right beside hers. I'm going to be looking out the window at her. See who coming knocking on her door. I'm just saying, I ain't going to be married, but we still going to act like it. That's just why I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven with her and enjoy it. Think about that for a moment. And this last one is this. Today, I will keep this in mind at all times. What Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14 says. It says this. Let us clear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of life. Fear God and keep his commandments. That is really what life's all about. Fearing God and keeping his commandments. And if we anchor, and that is the foundation of our life, oh, my goodness, it'll make a difference. Our whole duty is to fear God and keep his commandments. And then it says this, because of this, for God shall bring every good work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We're going to have to answer for stuff that's known. We're going to have to answer for stuff that we didn't let anybody know. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Maybe with this lesson, we'll approach each day differently. I know that I will, and I need lessons like this from time to time because it's so easy to lose course. It's so easy to get caught up. It's so easy to start your day and not spend any time with God. It's so easy to not even think about what I'm supposed to be doing every day, that I'm supposed to be a light. I'm supposed to be in talking about Jesus more than I talk about anything, more than I talk about my favorite football team, more than I talk about politics. I'm supposed to be talking about Christ and him crucified more than anything. Do we always meet that goal? The answer is no. So we got some work to do, all of us, when you think about it. But it's not an excuse. Don't make an excuse to say you don't have time, because guess what? If you say you don't have time, God can take whatever time you got left away from you. And that's not what you want. How many folks thought they had time to obey the gospel and time ran out? How many folks said, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to get myself right with Jesus, but tomorrow never came? How many folks had planned to solve a problem they had with a loved one tomorrow, and tomorrow never came? Either because they weren't here or the loved one's not here. We waste too much time. Take advantage of every day. God's given us 24 hours a day. Nah, I'm not even counting the 8 deaths of sleep. I'm talking about 24 hours a day to do something for Christ. Surely we can do one thing a day for Jesus. Not really hard when you think about it. The question is, do we want to? Learn to take advantage of the day. Because if not, they're going to pile up on you. You're going to wonder why all the time went. You're going to wonder that not do anything. And then the sad part about it is many folks going to get to heaven in judgment, and that ledger's going to be blank about what did you do for me. Oh, my goodness. Well, I thought. I was getting ready to. Well, I figured. Christ is going to ask us. This is what's going to really help us to solidify whether to get in heaven or not. What did you do for me? And if we have nothing on that side of the ledger in the books that we're going to be judged by, the next thing he's going to say is, depart from me, I never knew you. Whether you're a good person or not, whether you're the best neighbor or not, whether you're the best family member or not, what did you do for me? That's what it's all about. What must we do to be saved? We must hear the gospel, believe what we have heard, repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Because then the Christ Jesus makes us new creatures. And then we really begin to figure out what life's all about. We realize that God has done something for us we couldn't do for ourselves. He's freed us from the bondage of sin. That's enough right there. If God gave us no other blessings, that would be enough right there to praise him until he came back. Just freedom, but he got so many more blessings in us. And all he asks us to do is tell folks how good God has been to us when it really boils down to it. And what God has done for us. Why is it so hard for us sometimes? I have to answer the same question. Sometimes we don't want to. Sometimes we're afraid of the response we'll get. But what about the response that we get that's positive? The one thing you learn in sales is sometimes you got to go through 100 no's to get 10 yeses. But those 10 yeses can turn into exponentially beneficial, be exponentially beneficial for your business. Everybody's not going to offer what you got to take, what you got to sell. They're not going to accept it. So you don't pay attention to those. Matter of fact, we got scripture for that when it says, they don't listen, you take your peace with you, and you shake the dust off your feet. That's what it tells in Matthew chapter 10. That's what he told the 70 when he sent them out, the apostles. They don't want to hear what you got to say. You take your peace with you. Don't leave your peace there. Because you leave your peace at every house, you're not going to have any when you get back. Take your peace with you and shake the dust off your feet. Because there will be some that listen. And those are the ones that God's concerned about. That's what IF is about. It's hard for me to imagine that Christ walked on this earth and a few people that we read of in Scripture obeyed it. He walked on this earth. They were able to touch him and feel him. And my question is, what group would I have been in? Sometimes I have to think about it. This man named Jesus, he's talking about, he's a good man, but is he really the Son of God? They walked. And then many of them who had the scriptures, like the Pharisees, should have known who he was and didn't obey him. So you think everybody's going to listen to you? Nope, but some will. He started with 12 and many more. But out of that 12 and that day of Pentecost, the whole world received the gospel, starting with 12 and 3,000. That was added to them. So you can make a difference in the world you live in. And all they did was go about spreading the gospel. That's all they did. And turn the world upside down. If you have one desire to put on Christ in baptism, request special prayer. We ask you to please come forward as we sing a verse of 572.